Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. Welcome. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, an absolutely mind-blowing weekend of news. Our big thanks to reporter Matthew Blake of MinPost.com, an independent nonprofit newsroom, for joining us. You can find Matthew Blake's great work on the Minnesota budget at MinPost.com. We'll be sure to have him back. We're now joined for the next half hour by another great commentator and news reporter from Minnesota. Her name is Jordana Green. She is co-host of the Adam and Jordana Show on WCC. AM Radio. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Jordana.
Thank you so much for having me, Maggie.
Let's just jump right in here. I wanted to share, I've got my co-host for the afternoon, Matt Rothschild, with me, Jordana. There has been some absolutely like stomach-churning reactions from some Wisconsin politicians to the tragedies in Minnesota this weekend. Congressman Derek Van Orten said this on X over the weekend. A whole pack of election deniers got together and spewed hate. One decided to murder and attempt to murder some politicians that weren't far left enough for them. In subsequent posts, he called Minnesota Governor Walz stupid and a clown. Former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, before the facts were understood about this political assassin, Mr. Belter, went on X after calling the shooting horrific this weekend. He said this: if this ends up being done by an ultra-liberal activist upset by the lawmakers' votes to end taxpayer-funded health care for illegals, watch for many on the left to be silent or even justify it. Wrong. That post then, you know, mysteriously disappeared as the facts about the killer became clear over the weekend. Jordana, I just wanted to jump in, and I'm going to ask you, I'm going to start with the same question I ended our interview of your colleague, Matthew Blake. Have any Republicans in Minnesota adopted or come out publicly and said what I'm going to call some truly offensive, tone-deaf, and gross things in the wake of what is, I think, a political tragedy for us all, regardless of politics?
Maggie, Matt, they have not. I'm not sure what's going on in Wisconsin politics, but no, this was an absolute tragedy for people on both sides of the aisle. It should be an absolute tragedy for people on both sides of the aisle, no matter where they sit, where they live. What happened here was an assassination that seems to have been, the motive is not out, it's not definitive yet, but seems to have been politically motivated. And for anybody to react in a way that is not just sadness and disgust and disappointment and hurt and anger is honestly the wrong reaction. That I'm so sorry to hear that some of your lawmakers have politicized this and made it even worse. And that makes me nauseous. That just makes me sick.
I was pretty grossed out too, to tell you the truth, Jordana. Awesome. I just think Wisconsinites all Americans deserve better from their elected officials in moments of such acute tragedy. I'm struggling to place this in context of all of the rest of what has been going on, and we're doing that today with our callers. And folks, if you have a question, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I know that the governor called and the No Kings protest organizers heeded the governor's call to cancel No Kings protests across Minnesota on Saturday. Lots of people showed up anywhere. Can you speak to what the protests felt like, if you're aware? How is the community handling this? Is there indications, unlike apparently in Wisconsin and some of our politicians on the right, are there indications of people trying to use this as a unifying moment to actually stand up against political violence? If you can address both that bigger question and, hey, how did the folks that showed up for the canceled No Kings protest, how did those go over the weekend?
Well, you're right. The governor did warn folks not to go to the protest. the No Kings rally, and many did not heed his call. We had local protests outside of the Capitol, all over Minnesota, that maybe people felt it was a little safer. Also, maybe some people didn't understand or know what was happening in the news. They just got up and went to the protest, and they weren't paying attention. But I will say it went off with no incidents. And I'm very grateful for that. And while I was not at the No Kings protest here at the Capitol, you know, it's my understanding that it went off with its intended purpose. I don't necessarily think the tone of the protest changed. People wanted to get out there. When the word started spreading, of course, there was a more somber note, and people were devastated and shocked and also scared. Because remember, this person was not apprehended. Vance Belcher was not apprehended until late last night. So this all happened while he was on the loose, and there was a spotting of him in Minneapolis, which, of course, is just across the river from St. Paul, you know, later in the day. So that protest did go off without a hitch. I'm sure it was much more somber as the news spread of the murders of Melissa Hortman and her husband, Mark, and then, of course, the shootings of the Hoffmans.
Yes.
But, yeah, no, they it didn't necessarily change the tone. But the tone in Minnesota, we have not heard what you have heard. We are probably so shocked here because everybody knew Melissa Hortman. She was the most recent Speaker of the House. Before somebody else took over in, you know, early 2025. And she was somebody who worked across the aisle. She was somebody who passed common sense, no-nonsense legislation. She had been a public servant for many, many years, an educated, smart member of the community, a lifelong Minnesotan. So there wasn't that kind of vitriol, which probably led us to this point, by the way. It's that kind of negative, divisive derision, negative verbiage that has brought us to this point where people act on those horrific words, on those insightful words when we go after each other in such a negative way. So we did not feel the divisiveness today. And there are on my show this morning, on CCO and on so many people's shows and all over TV, people are just in shock, and they just want to come together and grieve and, you know, just take this all in and take stock of, wow, how did we get here? And we really, it's time to make a change.
So true. Jordana, how well did you know the speaker? Did you interview her on your show? What was she like in person?
Yes, she has been on our show. I did not know her personally. I only knew her as a lawmaker. I did not know her personally. I will say this about her, and I feel like everybody knew this about Melissa Hortman, but she spent a lot of her time training service dogs. This is in her free time. That was one of, I guess, a hobby, something that she did. But this is the kind of person, you know, that we're dealing with. This is a person who volunteered to train service dogs for veterans through an organization called Helping Paws. And I don't mean to elevate her in death to, you know, the place of a saint. I think sometimes we jump where we never want to speak ill of the dead, or we never want to say it how it really is. And certainly a day after or 2 days after their murder is not the time. But Melissa Hortman really was remembered today by friends and colleagues and those of us who had interactions with her for her kindness. She had deep concern for people living in her district and all Minnesotans. She was always trying to, you know, the legislation that she proposed and that she was heavily involved in were things like free school breakfasts and lunches, you know, early investment in childhood education, health care, which may have been one of the reasons for this. We know the person had anti-abortion, and some abortion clinics were on the list as targets on his kill list. She led efforts to pass comprehensive reproductive health care protections. You know, she championed secured paid family leave and medical leave program here in Minnesota. She was a stalwart environmentalist. She also promoted gun safety and criminal justice reform, advocated for gun violence prevention and measures like universal background checks and red flag laws. You know, this is a person who, you know, when we say DFL or progressive, she wasn't one that was so far left that nobody could stand anymore. And we all know who those politicians are. This is somebody who listened to Minnesota. You know, we do. You know, this is somebody who listened to Minnesotans and heard them and worked across the aisle to create laws that benefited actual Minnesotans.
Jordana, Folks, if you're just joining us, just to let you know who we're talking to, our colleague Jordana Green, host, co-host of the Adam and Jordana Show at WCCO AM Radio in Minneapolis. Jordana, I wanted to ask you this question, and it's a loaded one, admittedly. As a woman, I've worked nearly 15 years in government service. I was the chief legal officer of Milwaukee County. I've got my share of death threats. I'm sure you have too, as a woman in media. Mm-hmm. Here was a woman who is smart, clear, outspoken, and worked to build collaborative consensus across the aisle and effectively did so. She was a political leader. I'm as a woman, I always worry about it's the wrong thing. I have to tune out any of the additional risk that may accrue to me because I happen to be a female doing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Any moments where you reflected upon that in the last, 24 to 36 hours, do you think she was in part targeted because she was the speaker and or because she was a woman, or was it purely just her politics? What are your personal feelings about that? And then, of course, anything that you're hearing concretely about that?
Interesting question. And I think any woman in a position of power is oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes more at risk. And, looking at the hit list of the people he had on the list in the car, there were over 40 Minnesota elected officials. They were primarily Democrats. Okay, but we do have a lot of female Democrats in this state. U.S. Senator Tina Smith, Representative Ilhan Omar were on the list, but also on the list was Governor Tim Walz. These people were primarily Democrats. So I'm not ready to go out on a limb and say this person was a male chauvinist or, I'm not ready to go there. I think he was a very sick person, a very troubled person, a very angry person. I don't know that being a woman helps when you have a woman in power and somebody differs with their political opinions, but I don't know that I'm going to make that leap that it was a female-driven crime. Because remember, he went to Senator Hoffman's house first, and he is a man, and that was the first target that he hit. He went to another lawmaker in Maple Grove. Nobody was there. He went to and we don't know who that person is. He went to another lawmaker, in another state senator in New Hope, and that state senator was a woman. She did not answer the door. That person was a bit intercepted and left, Van Stelter, and then he went to Melissa Hortman's house and this is all alleged.
Yes.
I didn't say all of that.
Of course, alleged. Folks, we've got Jordana Green with us of WCCO, co-host of the Adam and Jordana Show. She's going to come back with us on the other side. I'll just say this very generally. There are more female Democrats elected than there are Republicans. Fact. Mm-hmm. We're going to come back. My name is Maggie Dawn. I got Matt Rothschild as a co-host with me. Stay with us. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.